Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fine townspeople of the Bay Area, it is with great honor that we offer you a seat at the Red and Gold Roundtable. Now, we present to you Sir Bonte Hill, Sir Diamond Bruce, and Sir Kyle Madsen.
Damn it! This just ruined everything just unplugged, everything just broke. I don't care anymore.
Oh, baby, and happy holidays. This Labor Day special. This is going to be fun on the Morning Roast. We're going to do something a little different. It's not even the Morning Roast today. All right? It's the Red and Gold Roundtable. And let me tell you, I got some 95-70 game superstars alongside of me. David Bruce, you know him in the afternoons. He's a Bay legend. He knows the Niners inside and out. He's on this roundtable. I have Kyle Madsen, the host of Overtime. He's going to be talking to you after every single 49ers game, whether it's on the road or at home. Alice Dowles, Kyle Madsen, an encyclopedia of information, Damon. But man, I never get to see you guys as the Red Gold Roundtable is brought to you by Kirby. Kirby is your driveway mechanic, brakes, tires, oil changes, and much, much more.
Hi.
Damon in the morning.
Damon Bruce, how are you? Nice
to
meet you.
Bonte Hill.
Yeah, it's been a while. How you doing? Kyle?
This is great. This is like my worlds colliding because I see Bonte every morning and I see Damon every afternoon, but never in the same room. So this
you're the
is
bridge.
Great.
You're the bridge
you're
between this
you.
Relationship.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Good to be with you guys. Good to see you guys. And if there's one thing that is just as guaranteed as any sports station has, is we have guaranteed about the most interesting football season maybe any of us have been through, certainly before it even starts. Because
yes.
Who knows? The wheels could come off, and it could not be interesting. It could be a huge disaster. That's the way the NFL is built. But day one, walking up to a football season, I don't think I've ever seen one with more intrigue, with more storylines. Mm. I've never seen the Niners have this much national attention on them. The local attention is always suffocating,
right.
But they are in the A block of every single show on television. So this is going to be one hell of a ride, and I'm glad we get the next 2 hours to try to explain what this whole
right.
thing might look like.
Hey, Kyle and Damon. It's not even week one, and I'm exhausted. I mean, this August has been unbelievable. You're spot on. Like the Harbaugh days, remember the noise with them. But there were times during the Harbaugh era, they weren't even on SportsCenter that first year. This thing, Trey Lance is everywhere, and then you bring Jimmy Garoppolo back, who we wrote off. Hey, Jimmy's going to be in Seattle, Cleveland. How many different uniforms did we put Jimmy Garoppolo in? Yet, he's back in red and gold as the backup quarterback.
I wasn't around for Montana Young. But this is the most interesting 49er season of my life, and it's not even close.
Not even close.
You talked about the Harbaugh year, the year after they lost to the Giants, and then the next year, it was interesting because they were a team that should go to the Super Bowl, but it didn't have this level of intrigue where it's like, Trey Lance, number three pick, huge question mark, oh hey, and now the Jimmy Garoppolo factor. I don't know how it gets more fascinating than this, and it's not going away once the season starts.
So, Damon, I've been asking everybody, and obviously you're in the afternoon with Ray Rattle from 3 to 6.
Don't promote him.
Yeah, forget Ray Rattle. Screw him. He's watching soccer somewhere. He's watching soccer highlights or whatever. But I remember I was in a hot tub when I got the news that Jimmy Garoppolo was coming back, and I was like, what? Shasky, hop on IG Live. We need to talk about it right now. And he was on vacation. What was your initial, and I want to get your thoughts too, Madsen, but Damon, what were you doing? And obviously, you were prepping because I think the news broke around 2:20.
It was so 20 minutes before the show started. And I was like, wow, Grandy's like, we got breaking news. And I said, what is it? You know, something about Brandon Crawford or something, you know. He's like, no, this is big. And it's the restructure. And not a lot of things make you go, wow. But that was a wow moment, and it was such a big breaking news story, I couldn't believe that I wasn't on vacation. But that's you.
Yeah,
Mr.
That's
you talk about interesting August. How was
right.
Lake Como?
Oh, Lake Como.
Come on. If you have to ask, you just don't know, Kyle. You don't know.
Positano, Capri. We can talk all day about Italy.
Look at that.
The beach,
look
the weather,
that.
The pool,
and
the
your
food.
Paris Saint-Germain jersey.
Saint-Tropez, let me tell you. Nikki Beach, we rolled up and got a ride there, and you see nothing but a Maserati, a Bentley, the Benz. And I'm like, damn, we're at a party with some high rollers here.
2 hours and that's it. We need to get out of here before we go broke. But Europe was great, David. Thanks for asking.
I did. It looked like the best vacation ever.
Yeah, but you ever been to Lake Merritt?
So he's got nothing on Lake Como. Doesn't look like a real lake. But anyway, I digress. Continue, David.
We will be going on tangents over the next 2 hours. Just prepare everyone.
It's Labor Day. Come on.
I mean, you're going to Chicago when the season opens. Whoa. We got to talk about what your dining plan is when you get to Chicago. But anyway, back to Garoppolo, back to Trey Lance. It's fascinating because the story's fascinating based on how both guys arrived, how one was planned to exit. So it's like the arrival story of Lance is amazing. The departure story that never turned into an actual departure with Jimmy Garoppolo has been an ongoing 4-year-long soap opera. And to have both of those worlds now colliding in a way. Now, here's the crazy thing, because I think all of us bounced back and forth between Jimmy's got to go. How's Jimmy going to go? Jimmy's definitely either going to be traded, going to be cut. It was, and you can check the tape on this one, fellas, the Monday before the Houston game. And remember, they had just played Minnesota in the preseason, and they were playing Houston that Thursday. So there was a 3-day run-up. And I said, based on the way Sudfeld and Purdy played against Minnesota, I just said, wouldn't it be prudent? Wouldn't it be a good idea to just hand Jimmy his playbook today and say, look, we're going to give you a half in Houston. If nothing else, this is a showcase to show everyone that your shoulder is better. Or maybe, just maybe, the unthinkable could be thought of. Is Jimmy Garoppolo one of the 53 best men on this roster? And I kept on returning to this point. Breaking camp has two rules. You want to do it as healthy as possible, and you want to do it with your best 53.
Mm-hmm.
There is no argument to be made that Jimmy Garoppolo isn't one of the best 53.
Yep.
And so that, to me, was the logic that should have trumped the obvious logic of course they're going to get rid of him. Of course they're going to cut him. Of course they're going to waive him. I kept on returning to the football logic. And it seemed logical. Now, I remember that Monday, Ray and I, stop talking about him, but Ray and I had Cam Inman on, and he just said, Damon, you got to let it go. Yeah. You got to let it go. It's just not going to happen. And I thought, you know, he's right. But what I said is also true. So what's going to trump what is right or what is true? Because right and true can be two different things, right?
Yeah.
So the whole thing sort of came into focus for me as it's the true and good thing to do, but I wonder if they'll actually have the stones to do it.
Right, because it's a huge
ballsy
risk.
Move. It's a huge ballsy risk, Kyle. Yeah.
So there's a lot of consternation about this, right? Because it's like bringing Jimmy Garoppolo back. What do they think about Trey? What does that mean for Trey? This is bad news. If they go 0-2, they're going to have veterans knocking down Shanahan's door saying that Trey needs to come out. So I get that it messes up that development timeline and no team's ever done this before. And you got to get rid of the guy because you have to commit 100% to Trey Lance. Like I understand all of that. But I also think that if Trey Lance had just balled out in the preseason, every practice, it's like, well, I went 13 for 14 with four touchdowns, and he lights it up in the preseason, and the 49ers still get to, you know, late August, and Jimmy Garoppolo goes, okay, I'll stay for $6.5 million. I think they still do it.
Right.
And I think if Garoppolo had said to them on August 1, like, hey, you know what? I'm willing to hang out here for $6.5 million if you can't trade me, they would have done it then, too. I'm of the mind that while, yes, this is not necessarily great news for Lance, just in the event that he goes 0-2 and you have veterans in the locker room saying, dude, our starter is on the roster, start him, I think they would have done this regardless. I don't think this necessarily speaks to what the organization thinks of number five.
And you know what? I think this is a win for Garoppolo, and I think it's a win for his agent, Don Yee. They get the surgery, and they wait a month and a half after the season to get the surgery. Well, Washington's out the window. Who wants to go play quarterback there? Or Carson Wentz, because he's desperate. Nobody wants him. Washington does. It's a dumpster fire. But Jimmy waits it out. He waits it out. He waits out the Carolinas. He waits out the Seattles. He waits out the Clevelands. And the market just dries up. But what did Jimmy do that's going to get him paid for 2023? He didn't say a peep. He didn't say anything. Yeah. So in the eyes of many, Damon and Mattson, People are saying, man, that's a consummate professional. Look at him. He just carried himself. And he's been beat up here in San Francisco. He may be the most underappreciated 49er I've seen in my lifetime.
Right.
No joke. He's won. He's helped them win a lot of big games. A lot of big games. And that locker room knows that. But Don Yee and
he was
Jimmy,
never worse than average.
No.
Right?
No.
Yeah.
He was never a bum.
No, he was never a bum. Yeah. And please, all the Alex Smith fans, he's a lot better than what Alex was in San Francisco. A lot better. But
you know what they call three straight Alex Smith completions? Fourth and two.
That is a good one.
It's a good joke.
Those are facts when he was a 49er. But Jimmy, knowing that, hey, I know this playbook. I know this roster's loaded.
Yeah.
I'm on a contender. And there's a second-year unproven quarterback. I may get my shot again. And now when I go into the offseason next year, hey, everybody's going to say, you know what? That guy, Jimmy, he's a really good locker room guy. And they're going to pay him. Some team's going to overpay him. So I think Don Yee and Jimmy, they played this perfectly for them.
Watch,
and now he couldn't throw. He played it perfectly.
Watch our handsome Prince Eric.
Oh, my.
Watch our handsome Prince Eric play the role of ultimate teammate, most supportive, best backup quarterback you've ever seen. Like, he will be sitting next to Lance on the bench going over the tablet. He will be sitting around talking about how, you know, I'm just here to help my guy get ready to go out and compete. And should anything go wrong, I'll be ready to answer the bell. Even the harshest Jimmy Garoppolo critic would have to agree. He's been nothing but a model of professionalism, and I don't think he's going to come off of that model now. And if the team, if the franchise suspected he would, he wouldn't still be here.
Nope.
This is the ultimate management of professionalism, of egos. And like you were saying, Kyle, I think that your point is perfect. That one, as much as we tie the two together, they're independent decisions.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really related to each other. I think this team is their support of Trey Lance and keeping Garoppolo are mutually exclusive.
Yep.
One, it's easy to say one has absolutely something to do with the other, but they really don't. And the only thing that is going to bring Jimmy Garoppolo into a huddle in a football game, I really believe is going to be an injury. I mean, I think that they are committed to Lance, and they know that there are going to be ebbs and flows in this year. And having said all that, if he plays himself off the field, he plays himself off the field. You know, football's hard.
Yep.
Football's hard,
no
especially
doubt.
On young quarterbacks.
No doubt.
If he plays himself off the field because it's not good enough, so be it. And it won't be because Jimmy Garoppolo is behind him. It will be because he just wasn't quite ready for prime time.
No doubt. That's right, folks. That's Damon Bruce. In case you turned on your radio, you didn't hear Joe Shasky the Butcher, or you didn't hear nice guy Stephen Langford. That's Damon Bruce, because this is a special Red Gold Roundtable. Bonte Hill, Damon Bruce, and the one and only Kyle Madsen, who's hosting overtime this season before and after every, or excuse me, after every Niners game.
You're going to be dealing with the
post-game show.
The post-game calls?
Yeah.
Man.
Oh, yeah.
That's your
job. He's already been
I'm on the roller coaster.
Hey, man. We brought him in a few years ago. He knows what time it is with that.
I had to deal with the Houston game after that, where Lance had his, whatever it was, three series, and he didn't look great.
Oh
people are ready to pull the plug.
So have you discovered your Butcher Boy yet? Because it was Butcher Boy calling into Niner post games that made me go, okay, this guy needs a job in sports talk radio. So be on the lookout.
I definitely
the next 95.7 The Game star could be calling in frustrated after a 49er game. You never know. But it's, so we're rolling this a few times today. So, like, you're going to be an afternoon drive,
I'm
and you're going to be an afternoon drive a little. I'm in morning
I'm
drive.
I'm really excited about
it. Amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
A Labor Day special. Get the barbecue and listen to Damon, Kyle, and Bonte here as we talk Jimmy G and the 49ers. And
we'll have an official name? Is it Red and Gold Roundtable?
Red and Gold Roundtable.
Round hosts.
No pizza. No pizza. Round hosts.
Which is a huge bummer, but that's fine.
Yeah, I know. Roundtable pizza, very underrated. I believe so.
Yeah.
I agree.
I'm in the Roundtable camp.
I am too.
But you brought up the leash with Trey Lance, and he's not just going to get pulled just to get pulled. And I believe that, too, because the NFC, I believe, is going to be so muddled like it was a season ago. The Niners, after eight games, are 3-5. Yet they were one game out of a playoff spot.
Mm-hmm.
I believe now, after watching all the dust settle, the Niners could be 3-5 into the same situation, and Kyle's going to say, you know what, let's give this another game. Let the kid play. You got to see what he has.
So I think that depends a little bit. If they're 3-5 and they're scoring 14 points a game and their defense is just awesome and it's just clear Lance is not developing, but if they start 1-3 and then go, what would that be, 3-5, 2-2 over their next four, right, where it's like the Rams and I think the Broncos are in there. Like if they start there, but he's getting better, and they get to 3-5, and it's like, wow, they've won a couple in a row, and Trey really seems to be gaining his feet. Then I think you're right. I think he gets another shot. But if they're 3-5 because their quarterback stinks and they should really be 7-1, then I think they 100% go to Jimmy in that case.
That's the $100,000 question.
Yep.
The entire year, right there. Will they do that? Will they do that? I'm going to have to see that to believe it. I mean, is Lance unplayable?
Right.
If he's literally unplayable, like a level of this doesn't work out, like he's out there looking like, I don't know, who's the worst quarterback I've ever seen?
Nathan Peterman.
Just incapable of, he's throwing multiple interceptions after another. Then yes, if it were that level of a disaster. But I think that level of disaster, how much better is it to go to a backup quarterback named Jimmy Garoppolo than Nate Sudfeld or Brock Purdy? That simple.
Yeah.
Like, if the sky is falling on your starting quarterback, that's, like, it doesn't matter who the backup is.
Right. Correct.
Right.
Your season's kind of dashed if your starting quarterback is a disaster or if he gets hurt. Except for one team. And this might be that team.
The 49ers.
Because Kyle Shanahan, when he said, you know, there aren't 32 great quarterbacks. There aren't 32 starting caliber quarterbacks in this league, but we have two of them.
He's right.
And he is right about
that.
He's right about that.
No doubt about that.
Jimmy cast in the role of starting quarterback. It felt like he read well for the part. He certainly has the looks, but you know, we filmed the first pilot and it just didn't click. It didn't click. Cast as a backup quarterback, I think the man is setting himself up for big success in 2023 contractually. Yep. His reputation is going to be salvaged because it took a hit this offseason.
Best scenario for Jimmy Garoppolo this season is that he doesn't play. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to do everything in his power to make sure Trey Lance starts 17 games and is awesome in those 17 games.
What if he plays 3 and goes 2-1? Plenty of film. It adds to the regular season record where he was 33-14. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden you say, hey, 35-15 in games I started with the 49ers, 4-2 in the playoffs.
How about this? The Niners reach week, 18 now, since there's 17 games? They reach week 18.
Play Jimmy?
They have their... the thing. They have their playoff seed locked up. You know, whether they win or lose, it doesn't affect where they're going to end up in the postseason. And there, Jimmy starts that game. He gets the mop game.
Oh, can you imagine?
And he balls out.
And let him ball out. Let him play great.
Millions in the bank. Don Yee saying, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. But going into the season, because you brought up week one Chicago, are the 49ers, Kyle, a better team going into this season than they were a year ago?
Yeah, I think so. You have Trey Lance, who is more experienced now. And that's the thing with Kyle Shanahan. Like, we're wringing our hands over what Trey Lance is going to be or not be. We've seen Kyle Shanahan make it work with way less talented quarterbacks than Trey Lance. Like, he made Matt Schaub a dude. He turned Matt Ryan from good to great. Like, I think the Trey Lance experiment is going to work. And so you have him as your starter. Now you have the, 18th best quarterback, 17th best quarterback in the league as your backup? Like, they're just better, top to bottom. You want to get into the secondary, you want to get into the running back group. Like, they are a better team this year, even with some question marks on the offensive line. I absolutely think they're better.
The fact that Nick Bosa is not coming off of a surgery, that alone makes this team better. Because he was spectacular coming off of that surgery. I think he is going to flirt not only with Defensive Player of the Year, I think he could play himself into an MVP-level conversation.
Man.
That's the year that I think Nick Bosa is about to have. Now, Kinlaw and Eric Armstead continuing that trajectory have a long way to go to making that happen.
Mm-hmm.
But if you, for a second, have to focus on anyone other than Bosa up front, that guy is going to eat quarterbacks' faces all season long.
And a guy opposite of Nick Bosa, they're going to be better there on the edge. Mm-hmm. Kerry Hyder Jr. or Drake Jackson, a young man out of USC who probably should have been a first-round pick, but we know Clay Helton burned that school to the ground.
This show can't be all quarterback talk. We've got to get into the rookies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no,
I think there are three rookies on this team who could go a long way to bending the arc of how successful this season really is.
Oh, yeah. Drake Jackson's one of them, I believe.
Yeah,
Drake Jackson could be special.
Don't sleep on Samson Ebukam as well, who struggled early on last year, but over the last half of the season, he was excellent.
What's the biggest concern going into the season? We talk about Trey Lance. We talk about the weapons they have. IU, Kittle, Debo. We're going to get to that a little bit later. Nick Bosa. We're going to talk extensively about him. The linebacking group with Fred Warden Jr. What is the biggest concern heading into Chicago?
What do you think it is?
Probably the offensive line.
Guard, center, guard. That's Until further notice, that remains the only concern, totally honest.
Everybody's asking about Blake Hance from the Cleveland Browns. That's where we're at. Never heard of Blake Hance until he got cut yesterday.
Can I give you a nugget on Blake Hance?
Give me a nugget, dog.
Blake Hance, I think, can play a little. So he really struggled at tackle for the Browns. They moved him to guard this preseason. Don't want to buy too far into preseason, but they moved him to guard, and he was really good at guard for them. And it was kind of a surprise to some people I talked to that know the Browns that he got cut.
So Aaron Banks should be on the lookout.
Well, they don't want to pay a guard like a tackle, right? Is that it? Was he a sweet guy? He wasn't a very good tackle.
Like, so they moved him to guard to see, like, hey, can you play here? And he was good.
Well, the clip,
and then they cut him.
The clip of him blocking Joey Bosa has gone viral. Niner fans are eating that up, where he's blocking Joey Bosa last year at SoFi Stadium.
Look at this one rep.
Hey, I'm sold.
Everything you need to know about football can be seen in this one rep.
Last week, I saw somebody on YouTube where they were saying, hey, did you see this guy Hitch, the way he blocked Joey Bosa? I'm like, we only saw one play. But Aaron Banks should be on the lookout. That's a message to him.
Yeah.
Instead of Trey Lance looking over his shoulder, what about Aaron Banks? Because that is, look, offensive lines, we never talk about them on sports radio. It's not the sexy topic to talk about. But you see in the Super Bowl over and over and over again, just last year with Cincinnati, Joe Burrow got killed in the second half by the LA Rams. Why? Because he had no protection. They need protection up front, Damon. They're going to go a long way with this offensive line.
It's all steak and sizzle. If you don't have the steak, it doesn't matter how much you're sizzling. And there is a need to protect, you know, a new quarterback trying to figure it all out, who we think, you know, is definitely more mobile. You can move the pocket around. Hopefully that buys a heartbeat or two that just standing in the pocket waiting for a perfect pocket. I don't know. What did Trey Lance have? I think 16 preseason dropbacks in total.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He was running in 14 of those 16 preseason dropbacks.
Yeah.
So I'm really not, you know, I'm not on board with he had a shaky preseason. That offensive line had a shaky preseason, and they've got a few days to hammer it out before they get to Chicago. And the only strength the Bears have is what they look like in the middle of that defense. So the one strength of the Bears is the one weakness of the Niners. Having said that, it should still be a great day for the San Francisco 49ers and you going to Chicago. Yeah. What a trip. We'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about that on the other side. The Red and Gold Roundtable. Kyle Batson, host of Overtime this season alongside Alan Stiles. Of course, you know Damon Bruce. He's an AM drive. What do you know? Morning drive, Damon Bruce. He woke up early to join us here on the Red and Gold Roundtable. I am Bonta Hill. We'll be right back. Brought to you by Kirby. Kirby's your driveway mechanic, brakes, tires, and oil changes, and much, much more.
Now back to the Red and Gold Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
All right, welcome back to the Red and Gold Roundtable, brought to you by Kirby. Kirby is your driveway mechanic, brakes, tires, oil changes, and much, much more. Little Labor Day special. Bonta Hill, Damon Bruce, Kyle Matson is going to be hosting Overtime on 95.7 The Game after every 49ers game alongside Alan Stiles. Kyle's tapped in with the 49ers inside and out. He knows all the moves, all the numbers. We'll get to all that stuff.
Is it Lowen Kruger doing pregame?
Dude,
We got the season on lock.
Dude, it's a monopoly for pre and post game
coverage. It's going to be so much fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And this year, you guys both said this, the intrigue with this 49ers team. You guys are right. I can't remember being this jacked up for a season.
They already lead the league.
Unknown.
They lead the league in interesting, and we haven't played it down yet.
Haven't played it down yet. because you got the unknown in the quarterback at Trey Lance, who I do love, and I think is going to thrive in the Shanahan offense. You have Deebo Samuel coming off of his all season where he's unfollowing the 49ers on the IG, saying he's not playing. Oh, by the way, I just signed a 3-year, $71 million contract. You have Brandon Ayuk, who I think is going to have a Jordan Poole-like ascension in his offense. And oh, by the way, we haven't even brought up George Kittle, for crying out loud. Remember 85? Remember that guy?
He's the forgotten name in this all,
isn't he?
Decent
little player.
Yeah.
He had like a down year last year and still had, I think, 950 receiving yards.
Yeah, he's...
And it was like, oh, tough season.
He's so special that you almost don't even notice him anymore. Like, you'd sort of take him for granted.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt.
Really has become that level of, I expect him to be this each and every week. Yep. He's going to lay down at least three pancake blocks. He's going to make three catches, all on third down to move the chains, and he might get in the end zone.
It's like... It's like when Steph drops 40. We don't even, it doesn't even move the needle.
I remember
when 38 tonight?
Yeah.
Call me when it's 47.
Well, I remember the Niners lost to Tennessee last season on Christmas Eve, and Curry dropped 46 against Memphis, and nobody gave a damn. It's like, oh, 46, oh, that's cool. Great story.
Yeah.
It's like, what? He just dropped 46 against the Memphis Grizzlies, for crying out loud. But
hey, do it in the NBA. Right. Oh, he did.
Oh, yeah. Game four happened, right?
Yeah. It did.
By the way, since we're here, and I know we're talking Niners, has anybody had a better year than Stephen Curry in the last 20? He's hosted the ESPYs. He's got the three-point record, finals MVP, All-Star Game MVP. Oh, he just got his college diploma and his jersey up in the rafters. He had his own graduation ceremony by himself. Not anybody else, just him. He can do no wrong. It's a nice life, a nice 2022.
I mean, it's no Bonte Hill, but it's a big year.
I mean, it's a huge year.
It's a big year.
Steph, Bonte, P-Lo, I don't know.
Look at it. By the way, we're going to be interviewing P-High a little bit later. But no, look, it's awesome to see this market remain like in the bullseye of all sports importance.
Yep.
Nobody gets the window that the Warriors have created for themselves.
No.
You just don't get that in professional sports in modern times.
I wonder, real quick, Kyle and I are a bit younger. We're new to the game, right? You've been here in this market.
Oh, God, that's how I'm framed now. I'm a little bit younger.
I'm
a little younger.
It's an honor for us to be in this room with David Bruce because, as Kyle Bassett is hosting 49ers postgame shows on 95.7 The Game, something that I did. You were doing this way back when they were the hot team, before they went down in Mike Nolan. Or actually, you were there during the Mike Nolan
Mike
days.
Nolan.
Right.
Nice suit, Mike.
That's about it. So
he wore Reebok suits on purpose.
Reebok suits.
That's crazy.
They did when they're open.
Well, it's the thing. They needed to go ahead and stay with the official sideline outfitter of the NFL at the time. So Reebok is over there making him some, you know, triple-breasted. No, look, Mike Nolan was a really good guy. Let's just leave it at that.
As
a coach, I don't know. But yeah, there were some down times, man. And then the Harbaugh era was the peak of, you know, the Niner existence since I've been out here. And now this. And this is, you know, having been here long enough to see a lot of it now, this is so far and away the most interesting run-up we have ever had to a season of 49er football.
Unbelievable.
Because its expectations are... You know, they go all the way from win the Super Bowl to, well, what if they are 9-8? You know,
right.
And I don't think there's a scenario where they're, you know, a 5-6 win football team, unless, of course, injuries unfold and the entire year is undone by bad luck. And if you ask Kyle Shanahan if that's ever happened to him, he'd say, yeah, it's happened multiple times. And that's why I have Jimmy Garoppolo now as my backup quarterback, because I have been undone going to C.J. Beathard and Nick Mullins and Brian Hoyer before this whole thing started. Mm-hmm. So I have not hedged my bet on Trey Lance. I'm hedging against NFL reality.
Right.
That's what this is, I think, more than anything else.
He gets dragged for 2018 and 2020 all the time. It's like, losing record as a head coach. And now he's insulating himself against that, right?
Right. Starting quarterback tears his ACL in week two in Kansas City, for goodness sakes.
Right, right. And the year is over. Him.
It's unwatchable. Yep. But you brought up the market and how this market is exploding with the Warriors and Niners. And
we're lucky.
And I going to Boston for the NBA Finals, right? And I'm thinking to myself, you know, everybody talks about Boston, New York, Chicago, D.C., L.A., major markets. Oh, they really care about their sports. Think about the run the Bay has been on since basically 2010. You got the Giants with three World Series. Mm-hmm. You had the Niners with multiple Super Bowl appearances and knocking on the door of a championship. We had the Warriors, of course, four championships in 8 years. Hell, the San Jose freaking Sharks made a Stanley Cup final, not to mention the A's always making the playoffs, and we know what happened in the first round. Sorry, Kyle Madsen. But you guys were entertaining and winning divisions. Mm-hmm. This market is now up there with the big dogs. I don't care what anybody says. You cannot call the market of the Bay Area a soft market because this market has turned into, hey, if you don't win a championship, we don't give a damn about you. It's Super Bowl or bust, or championship or bust.
It's, I mean, we even got a Stanley Cup appearance. Go yeah, Sharks. But look, there was the Boston run where they did have, you know, the Patriots on top of the Red Sox, right. And then they had that one-off Celtics championship. Mm-hmm. And that's the most obnoxious any city's ever been allowed to get by how much they were dominating sports. Like, you might have hated Boston then, but they earned it. They really did. That was an impressive run. This, to me, is the only thing that is like that, that is reminiscent of that. I think now the Bay Area has surpassed, you know, Chicago, Philadelphia, Atlanta was never really even in the conversation, nor was the state of Florida, South Beach, the state of South Beach, if you will. And the Bay Area is dwarfing the Dallas Metroplex in terms of relevant teams. And it's been a special time. Like, there will be a Red and Gold roundtable that the three of us are recording 4 or 5 years from now that won't be half as interesting as this one is.
Right.
Close. You know,
and it won't be the host's fault.
No.
But
no.
The host will be spectacular that day, too.
Yeah.
But just the circumstances, the expectations, the mystery, all of it, everything that you could want in a sports story is attached not only to several Bay Area teams, but specifically this San Francisco 49ers team.
And I think that's a little bit why there's so much of a microscope and so much worry about Trey Lance, right? Because it's really on him, this massive question mark going back to college. Like, not to mention he's played 2.5 NFL games, but he's this massive question mark. But it's on him to carry this torch a little bit. Like, I know we got the Warriors and we got, you know, Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody and Jordan Poole, and there's that. But, like, this is the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers. Mm-hmm. If the Bay Area is going to stay as relevant as it's been since 2010, the 49ers have to be good. You cannot be a bad NFL city or have a bad NFL team in your city and be relevant nationally. And I think that's why there's so much pressure on this, because it's like, man, if this doesn't work.
Wow.
Yikes. Like, they're going the wrong direction quickly.
Niner fans have been waiting to wrap their arms around a quarterback. Yes. Never really wrapped our arms around Alex Smith. We did for a second with Kaepernick, and it was over. Poof, gone. In a snap of a finger. Felt like, man, that was like 8 years ago. It feels like it was 20 years ago. Jimmy Garoppolo, yeah, okay, he won the 5 games, got the contract. But 2019, nobody really, not everybody, but a segment didn't really embrace him. They say, yeah, he's a bus driver. Just don't wreck the bus, right? Mm-hmm. It's the defense. It's the running game. Ah, you know what? Shanahan doesn't trust him. Only called 8 pass plays in an NFC Championship game, despite you getting 7 yards a pop.
He completely dominated.
Right.
Dominating an NFC title game wasn't good enough.
And we still complained. Yeah. Beat Minnesota 27-10, and we still complained. Niner fans are desperate to wrap their arms around the next franchise quarterback. But we're going to see a guy on the other sideline in week one in Justin Fields, the guy the Niners could have had. Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you, Kyle, if you had to do it all over again, would Justin Fields be the guy that you picked in that draft? Or would you still select Trey Lance on what you know now?
No, I'd still go Lance. Like, if that's the guy, I'm trusting Kyle Shanahan here. If Trey Lance was their guy and that was the player that they went, hey, the mental makeup, this and that, like, we think he is going to develop into a star, then I'm doing it again. Because chances are, if they drafted Justin Fields, we'd be in the exact same spot. So this is 100%, just based on kind of what I saw, I like Trey Lance more at North Dakota State. I would still go that way without question.
I would say that Justin Fields, I've seen enough of him to have my doubts about him, where I haven't seen enough of Trey Lance to either come down on either side of the argument yet. He still remains a mystery to me. If Justin Fields had been picked by the Niners, the only guaranteed difference is that Justin Fields would be in a much better situation.
Mm. Yeah.
Justin Fields is in about as bad of a situation as any young quarterback has been put in the last decade in the NFL. He's got a defensive first-time go-around rookie coach in Eberflus. He has the least amount of talent. that you can pretty much find among skill positions in the entire NFL.
What do you mean? Dante Pettis is not a factor there?
Maybe Velus Jones not getting it done?
Good luck with all that. Good luck with all of it. You know, I mean, Cole Kmet, ladies and gentlemen. Are you ready for Kmet?
Love those bootlegs, baby. Yeah, tight end screens. Let's go.
It's a huge work in progress for Justin Fields. He would be in a much better situation. And so many careers really are dictated by the situations that you land in. And this is the saving grace for Trey Lance.
Yep.
I don't think that there is a young quarterback, and this now includes Mac Jones. Last year it didn't because Mac Jones had Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick and still the aura of, you know, the Patriots from a coached correctly top to bottom standpoint. They still had that aura. They don't really have it now because Bill Belichick won't even name, you know, offensive coordinators. And
Matt Patricia's call of plays? Joe Judge?
It just feels like it's a risk, and everyone in New England saying that this isn't built right and maybe there's too much ego involved in that. I really do think that Trey Lance is as well positioned as a young quarterback could be, not just in terms of team talent, but the coach.
Yep.
And Kyle Shanahan, you know, whether or not you want to say has earned the genius card that a lot of people say he gets to carry around in his wallet. Look, I've talked to enough NFL people, and I know that you guys have too, to know that the amount of coach-wide respect, forget players and forget fans, the amount of coaches that fawn over the game plan Kyle Shanahan puts together is enough for me to believe that without the Lombardi trophy sitting on his desk, he is capable of indeed winning one day. When all the stars align, it's going to happen.
Yep.
Is Trey Lance one of the stars that helps it all align?
It better. Draft capital they spent to go get him.
This is huge.
Because jobs are on the line.
If he's not, Shanahan's done.
Right.
Like, this is your shot.
You know what? I don't think so. I really don't think so. I think he would even get a mulligan on this one. I really do.
Wow.
That is how much control he has.
With the patience of fans and sports and everything Ooh.
Dude, fans do not matter.
Coaching
he has Jed
players.
York's 100% confidence. As long as York is 100% in, that's all that needs to happen.
Yeah.
And we all know, look, mathematically today, as close as we are to week one, I'm going to tell you that there is a more mathematical probability that Trey Lance fails than succeeds in the NFL.
That's how
it is for all quarterbacks.
No doubt.
He has to prove that he can do this before you should even begin to assume that, hey, based on where he was drafted and the belief that this team had in him, it's definitely going to work.
Right.
That's not how this goes.
No.
That's not how this goes. So it is, there are so many moving parts, but all you can talk about is what is your starting line of your career. Trey Lance is at the best possible starting line of his career. Who knows how he runs the race?
And when you look at rookie quarterbacks in the history of the league, he may be in the best position outside of Ben Roethlisberger in terms of going to a team with a championship-type defense, a strong running game, and a hell of a play caller in Kyle Shanahan. This is the Red and Gold Roundtable. Damon Bruce, Kyle Madsen, and Bonte Hill brought to you by Kirby. Kirby is your driveway mechanic, brakes, tires, oil changes, and much, much more as we get ready for Chicago week number one on this Labor
Kirby.
Day. Kirby, baby.
Way to go, Kirby, on a Labor Day.
Hey, mobile mechanics, baby. Mobile mechanics. Real quick, I want to get with Trey Lance to the game plan.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay,
because you were on Trey Lance like 2019, early 2019 college season. You're like, hey, watch this guy from North Dakota State. Would you still draft him? Like,
That's a great question.
Do you still have faith in Trey?
I still have a lot of faith in Trey because of what I saw in the second half against the Houston Texans and what I saw in that start against Arizona. I know they only scored 10 points, but he hung in there and gets a good defense, and he took shot after shot after shot, and the young man didn't flinch. He didn't flinch. And it got to have a game in your last home game of the season, knowing that Garoppolo's out. And, hey, Trey, you fell today. We're not going to the playoffs. We're not going to be in position to make the playoffs. We can't get to Week 18 against the L.A. Rams and play for a playoff spot. He came out in that second half, and he went out there and balled out. He went out there and threw the ball well, threw it down the field. And the one element that Shanahan has been missing in this offense in San Francisco is that big chunk play. You go back to that Atlanta team in 2016 where the Falcons were scoring 35 points a game. Matt Ryan's winning MVP. You mentioned how he turned Matt Ryan into a good quarterback or from a good quarterback to a great quarterback. That team was 17th in time of possession, and they were lighting up the scoreboard.
They were one of the great first down teams of all time.
All time. Yeah. All time.
Super important.
Super important. Trey Lance can do that. that. So I would draft Trey Lance. Look, Trevor Lawrence is I think he's going to be really good, but Jacksonville has to build around him. At three, I was out on Zach Wilson. I think Zach Wilson, what we're seeing with him now is something that I saw in college. Like, oh, I don't know if he's going to hold up in the NFL. Looks good, but he's a little frail. He's a little Hector Skelter. I don't know about that. Justin Fields, it was close, right? And then Mac Jones. You had Mac Jones. Why are you going to draft Mac Jones, though, when you already have Jimmy Garoppolo? You basically drafted the same thing. So I would draft Trey Lance because of the promise and the moxie and the mental makeup. Everybody that you talk to about Trey Lance, whether it's his high school football coach, his college coach, players on the team, they say Trey Lance has what it takes mentally. Mm-hmm. The podium game, it's there, right? Yeah, I don't care what the media has to say. He's going out there working on his craft. I like the fact that, hey, Brandon Ayuk, get your ass down to L.A. Let's go throw some passes and build this rapport. So I would draft Trey Lance again because I think Shanahan and the way he's going to use Trey Lance is sort of the same way he's going to use RG3 without all the running. You go back to RG3's first ever football game down in the Superdome under Mike and Kyle Shanahan. They allowed him to throw the ball only 26 times. And that's where fans got to get real here. He's only going to throw the ball 20 to 25 times a game. Yep. That's all you need. But he threw for over 320. He took the shots down the field when you have the weapons that the Niners have. So I would do it all over again and draft Trey Lance. I think he's a guy, and I think he understands what it means to be a quarterback in San Francisco. So that would still be my guy, number three overall.
I mean, I don't know. We're about to find out. And you know what is funny, though? We were just talking about, or I was just talking about how much I think Kyle Shanahan is a spectacular coach and play caller. I think among the worst games Shanahan has ever coached are the two Trey Lance starts that we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't look like he had schemed it up for Trey Lance. It felt like he was still in a Garoppolo mindset. And that, I sort of thought, undid Trey Lance. The game in Arizona where he had 16 carries, but you know, the amount of what was designed, what was improvised, was debated the entire following week. I still don't know why those games didn't feel or look crisper from a game plan standpoint, but they just didn't.
Right. How much is Shanahan going to miss Mike McDaniel? Because Brian Baldinger has been all over 95.7 the game saying, you know, Mike McDaniel, he'd be in the film room, he'd be breaking down the alignments, all the motions, and I think the Niners are going to miss him. Where you listen to Deebo Samuel, and he's like, you know, I think he's going to be the same around here, despite losing Mike McDaniel and Wes Welker. How much do you think Shanahan will miss Mike McDaniel? Because you know a lot about Mike McDaniel.
Something Shanahan's done a really good job of is hiring coaches. There are so many former 49ers coaches littered throughout the league doing something more than they were doing in San Francisco. So that's a little bit of a concern for sure, but it's not like the Niners are going to come out and Shanahan doesn't know how to coach.
Right.
That's so as long as Kyle Shanahan's in the building.
Bubble screen.
But he put it on Chris Forster, offensive line coach, now the run game coordinator. That's a guy that Shanahan trusts, so I think given Shanahan's track record, he deserves the benefit of the doubt.
I like Anthony Lynn's hire, too.
Yes, that's a very good point.
I think he's going to do a lot for an already deep and experienced running back room. I think Elijah Mitchell's about to have a big year. I mean, if this offensive line will allow such a thing, and we got to get back to that. I mean, that's the overriding concern going into week 1, 2, 3 through 18 is what this offensive line does or doesn't do in its middle. But I think Elijah Mitchell is ready to go. I think that
this Mason kid looks good.
Yeah.
This kid looks good.
And look, that's why we no longer see Trey Sermon on this roster.
Right.
You know, that was someone that they tried to speak into existence. But game film really does not lie, and I can't think of a single run that he ever made in a game that actually mattered, and there was a running game clock in that I was impressed with. It just didn't happen.
I thought he was going to be a star.
I watch more Big Ten football than anyone should, and he was a huge home run hitter for Ohio State. But it goes back to the point that we can never forget. There is no amount of collegiate success in any conference, on any team, at any level.
Yep.
There is no amount of collegiate success that dictates what might happen in the NFL for you.
No doubt.
The only thing that proves whether or not you can play in the NFL is the NFL.
Yep.
That is it. There is no translation between the college game success and professional success. That's why this league is littered with undrafted free agents.
Especially now with all the parity in college football. But Trey Sermon, when he was drafted, I was like, oh man, Trey Sermon to the Niners, he's going to be a home run. I felt the same way about LaMichael James when he came out of Oregon. When the Niners drafted him, I said, oh, he's Frank Gore's backup, home run hitter, Oregon Duck.
let's go.
And he was awesome at Oregon.
And then the Super Bowl happened.
He was awesome.
And then the Super Bowl happened.
Put your hand down, Grandy.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Let's go, Ducks.
Go Ducks. Go Ducks. Go Ducks. The O stands for no championships. Imagine. Trey Sermon. It's truth.
Trey Sermon, look, you know that meme that goes around the internet right now? It's like the X-ray and he's got the dog inside the person. He's got that dog. Trey Sermon just doesn't. He didn't break tackles. He ran indecisively. It wasn't a shock that he was the guy the 49ers decided to let go out of that running back.
It looked like
not good enough.
It looked like his feet were heavy.
Yeah,
he had heavy feet.
Yeah, he just wasn't good enough.
You got to hit a hole, make a cut, and go in this offense.
Go.
Hey, but they're suckering me in with Ty Davis Price. That run he had against Minnesota, where he stiff arms the defensive lineman, keeps his balance, lowers his shoulder into the DB, keeps going. I'm in on TDP, man.
You bring up college football and all the conferences and stuff. I'm a sucker for SEC players.
It just means more.
Which is why I always, a lot of SEC players fail. Reuben Foster on line one, right? Thought he was going to be a stud as a linebacker for the 49ers. Well, lasted 1 year, got into trouble, and now he hasn't been in the NFL due to injuries. He was okay, right? But TDP, SEC running back out of LSU, how could he not be a stud? That program is littered with studs. But as you mentioned, Damon, it doesn't translate into NFL success. And I think the hype train has gotten so big on TDP, I'm in a situation where I just want to wait and see it. Let me see when he gets
on. He might have had a better offensive line at LSU. that's the scary thing. So, we'll all find out together. But you talk about the rookies that are going to be really interesting. I think he is one of them. I think that Danny Gray is going to be fascinating. And Samuel Womack III, man, this kid, all of a sudden, we'll get to Drake Jackson.
Right.
You want to talk about landing in a good situation for a career. We'll get to him in a minute. But Samuel Womack III, and by the way, the third is normally known as a Trey. Do we have another Trey? God, we lost a Trey Sermon. We have a Trey Lance. Can we have a Trey Womack here?
Trey.
Okay, I'm in.
I think this kid has shown all sorts of squabbles in that secondary. Mm. He is in the middle of every turnover this team has basically had for that defense in the preseason. So I hope that translates to the regular season. And just think how good this defense could be if we're not having a weekly referendum about who's playing in the secondary.
Yes.
If the secondary goes out there and does their job, we know that this defensive line group and we know that this linebacker group look like they're about to do their jobs. So I'm talking about every single week of the year, you got a defense that is never out of the top five.
Yeah. Semi Womack,
top five defense.
Rookie corner. Division loaded with the receivers.
Nickel, baby.
Nickel.
Nickel.
I'm a little concerned. I like what I saw in the preseason. But boy, when Cooper Kupp lines up in that slot, or Tyler Locker lines up in that slot, then we'll see what Womack's all about.
Womack's got some dog in him, though.
He got some dog in him, though. He's no punk. You can't be a punk playing corner in the NFL.
You don't come out of Toledo. Unless
as a
you're scrappy.
Walk-on. Toledo, as a walk-on.
Baby. Where are they, the Rockets?
The Rockets.
Toledo Rockets, baby. Pride of the back. What you know about that, Grandy? Ain't no Oregon
You love
duck.
Maxion.
I do love Maxion. I do love
You lose a lot of money on Maxion.
A couple years ago, it was really good for me.
Look at it this way.
We're not going to talk about the last 2 years.
The Mac used to represent one of the only wins Indiana football would get. It doesn't represent that anymore. No, there's no easy days.
You better bring your A game against Ball State. More coming up on the Red Gold Roundtable. David Bruce. Kyle Matz is going to be hosting Overtime this season. 49ers postgame show here on 95.7
Central Michigan.
Yours truly, Ponte Hill. We'll be right back. The Red Gold Roundtable brought to you by Kirby. Kirby's your driveway mechanic. Brakes, tires, oil changes, and much, much more.
Fine townspeople of the Bay Area, it is with great honor that we offer you a seat at the Red and Gold Roundtable. Now, we present to you Sir Bonte Hill, Sir Diamond Bruce, and Sir Kyle Madsen.
Damn it! This just ruined more than my old... Everything just unplugged, everything just broke. I don't care anymore.
Oh, baby, and happy holidays. This Labor Day special, this is going to be fun on the Morning Roast. We're going to do something a little different. It's not even the Morning Roast today, all right? It's the Red and Gold Roundtable. And let me tell you, I got some 95-70 game superstars alongside of me. David Bruce, you know him in the afternoons. He's a Bay legend. He knows the Niners inside and out. He's on this roundtable. I have Kyle Madsen, the host of Overtime. He's going to be talking to you after every single 49ers game, whether it's on the road or at home.
Alice Dowse, Kyle Madsen, an encyclopedia of information, Damon. But man, I never get to see you guys, as the Red Gold Roundtable is brought to you by Kirby. Kirby is your driveway mechanic, brakes, tires, oil changes, and much, much more.
Hi.
Damon in the morning.
Damon Bruce, how are you? Nice
how
to
you
meet
doing,
you. Yeah, it's been
good
a while.
You.
How you doing? Kyle?
This is great. This is like my worlds colliding, because I see Bonte every morning and I see Damon every afternoon, but never in the same room. So
you're
this
the
is
bridge.
Great.
You're the bridge
you're
between
the
this relationship.
Yeah. You're
absolutely.
The
good to be with you guys. Good to see you guys. And if there's one thing that is just as guaranteed as any sports station has, is we have guaranteed about the most interesting football season maybe any of us have been through, certainly before it even starts. Because who knows? The wheels could come off, and it could not be interesting. It could be a huge disaster. That's the way the NFL is built. But day one, walking up to a football season, I don't think I've ever seen one with more intrigue, with more storylines. Mm. I've never seen the Niners have this much national attention on them. The local attention is always suffocating.
Right.
But they are in the A block of every single show on television. So this is going to be one hell of a ride, and I'm glad we get the next 2 hours to try to explain what this whole thing might look like.
Hey, Kyle and Damon, it's not even week one, and I'm exhausted. I mean, this August has been unbelievable, and you're spot on. Like the Harbaugh days, we remember the noise with them, but there were times during the Harbaugh era, they weren't even on SportsCenter that first year. This thing, Trey Lance is everywhere, and then you bring Jimmy Garoppolo back, who we wrote off. Hey, Jimmy's going to be in Seattle, Cleveland. How many different uniforms did we put Jimmy Garoppolo in? Yet, he's back in red and gold as the backup quarterback.
I wasn't around for Montana Young, but this is the most interesting 49er season of my life, and it's not even close.
Not even
like
close,
you talked about the Harbaugh year, the year after they lost to the Giants, and then the next year, it was interesting because they were a team that should go to the Super Bowl, but it didn't have this level of intrigue where it's like Trey Lance, number three pick, huge question mark. Oh, hey, and now the Jimmy Garoppolo factor. I don't know how it gets more fascinating than this, and it's not going away once the season starts.
So, Damon, I've been asking everybody, and obviously you're in the afternoon with Ray Rattle from 3 to 6.
Don't promote him.
Yeah, forget Ray Rattle. Screw him. He's watching soccer somewhere. He's watching soccer highlights or whatever. But I remember I was in a hot tub when I got the news that Jimmy Garoppolo was coming back, and I was like, what? Shasky, hop on IG Live. We need to talk about it right now. But he was on vacation. What was your initial, and I want to get your thoughts too, Madsen, but Damon, what were you doing? And obviously, you were prepping, because I think the news broke around 2:20.
It was so 20 minutes before the show started. And I was like, wow. Grandy's like, we got breaking news. And I said, what is it? You know, something about Brandon Crawford or something, you know? He's like, no, this is big. And it's the restructure. And it's not a lot of things make you go, wow. But that was a wow moment, and it was such a big breaking news story, I couldn't believe that I wasn't on vacation. But that's you.
Yeah,
Mr.
That's
you talk about interesting August. How was Lake Como?
Oh, Lake Como.
Come on. If you have to ask, you just don't know, Kyle. You just don't know.
Positano, Capri. We can talk all day about Italy.
Look at that.
The beach,
look
the weather, that. The pool,
and
the
your
food.
Paris Saint-Germain jersey.
Saint-Tropez, let me tell you. Nikki Beach, we rolled up and got a ride there, and you see nothing but a Maserati, a Bentley, the Benz. And I'm like, damn, we're at a party with some high rollers here. 2 hours and that's it. We need to get out of here before we go broke. But Europe was great, David. Thanks for asking.
It looked like the best vacation ever.
Yeah, but you ever been to Lake Merritt?
So he's got nothing on Lake Como. Doesn't look like a real lake. But anyway, I digress. Continue, David.
We will be going on tangents over the next 2 hours. Just
no
prepare everyone.
It's Labor Day. Come on.
I mean, you're going to Chicago when the season opens. Whoa. We got to talk about what your dining plan is when you get to Chicago. But anyway, back to Garoppolo, back to Trey Lance. It's fascinating because the story's fascinating based on how both guys arrived, how one was planned to exit. So it's like the arrival story of Lance is amazing. The departure story that never turned into an actual departure with Jimmy Garoppolo has been an ongoing 4-year-long soap opera. And to have both of those worlds now colliding in a way. Now, here's the crazy thing, because I think all of us bounced back and forth between Jimmy's got to go. How's Jimmy going to go? Jimmy's definitely either going to be traded, going to be cut. It was, and you can check the tape on this one, fellas, the Monday before the Houston game. And remember, they had just played Minnesota in the preseason, and they were playing Houston that Thursday. So there was a 3-day run-up. And I said, based on the way Sudfeld and Purdy played against Minnesota, I just said, wouldn't it be prudent? Wouldn't it be a good idea to just hand Jimmy his playbook today and say, look, we're going to give you a half in Houston. If nothing else, this is a showcase to show everyone that your shoulder is better. Or maybe, just maybe, the unthinkable could be thought of. Is Jimmy Garoppolo one of the 53 best men on this roster? And I kept on returning to this point. Breaking camp has two rules. You want to do it as healthy as possible, and you want to do it with your best 53.
Mm-hmm.
There is no argument to be made that Jimmy Garoppolo isn't one of the best 53.
Yep.
And so that, to me, was the logic that should have trumped the obvious logic of course they're going to get rid of him. Of course they're going to cut him. Of mm-hmm. course they're going to waive him. I kept on returning to the football logic. And it seemed logical. Now, I remember that Monday, Ray and I, stop talking about him, but Ray and I had Cam Inman on, and he just said, Damon, you got to let it go. Yeah. You got to let it go. It's just not going to happen. And I thought, you know, he's right. But what I said is also true. So what's mm-hmm. going to trump what is right or what is true? Because right and true can be two different things, right?
Yeah.
So the whole thing sort of came into focus for me as it's the true and good thing to do, but I wonder if they'll actually have the stones to do it.
Right, because it's a huge
ballsy
risk.
Move. It's a ballsy
huge
move,
risk.
Kyle. Yeah.
So there's a lot of consternation about this, right? Because it's like bringing Jimmy Garoppolo back. What do they think about Trey? What does that mean for Trey? This is bad news. If they go 0-2, they're going to have veterans knocking down Shanahan's door saying that Trey needs to come out. So I get that it messes up that development timeline and no team's ever done this before and you got to get rid of the guy because you have to commit 100% to Trey Lance. Like I understand all of that. But I also think that if Trey Lance had just balled out in the preseason, every practice, it's like, well, I went 13 for 14 with four touchdowns, and he lights it up in the preseason, and the 49ers still get to, you know, late August, and Jimmy Garoppolo goes, okay, I'll stay for $6.5 million. I think they still do it.
Right.
And I think if Garoppolo had said to them on August 1, like, hey, you know what? I'm willing to hang out here for $6.5 million if you can't trade me. They would have done it then, too. I think this, I'm of the mind that while, yes, this is not necessarily great news for Lance, just in the event that he goes 0-2 and you have veterans in the locker room saying, dude, our starter is on the roster, start him. I think they would have done this regardless. I don't think this necessarily speaks to what the organization thinks at number five.
And you know what? I think this is a win for Garoppolo, and I think it's a win for his agent, Don Yee. They get the surgery, and they wait a month and a half after the season to get the surgery. Well, Washington's out the window. Who wants to go play quarterback there? Or Carson Wentz, because he's desperate. Nobody wants him. Washington does. It's a dumpster fire. But Jimmy waits it out. He waits it out. He waits out the Carolinas. He waits out the Seattles. He waits out the Clevelands. And the market just dries up. But what did Jimmy do that's going to get him paid for 2023? He didn't say a peep. He didn't say anything. Yeah. So in the eyes of many, Damon and Madsen, people are saying, man, that's a consummate professional. Look at him. He just carried himself. And he's been beat up here in San Francisco. He may be the most underappreciated 49er I've seen in my lifetime.
Right.
No joke. He's helped them win a lot of big games. A lot of big games. And that locker room knows that. But Don Yee and
he was
Jimmy,
never worse than average.
No.
Right?
No.
Yeah.
He was never a bum.
No, he was never a bum. Yep. And please, all the Alex Smith fans, he's a lot better than what Alex was
so
in San Francisco. A lot better. But
you know what they call three straight Alex Smith completions? Fourth and two.
That is a good one.
It's a good joke.
Those are facts when he was a 49er. But Jimmy, knowing that, hey, I know this playbook. I know this roster's loaded.
Yeah.
I'm on a contender. And there's a second-year unproven quarterback. I may get my shot again. And now when I go into the offseason next year, hey, everybody's going to say, you know what? That guy Jimmy, he's a really good locker room guy. And they're going to pay him. Some team's going to overpay him. So I think Don Yee and Jimmy, they played this perfectly for them.
Watch,
and now he couldn't throw. He played it perfectly.
Watch our handsome Prince Eric.
Oh, my.
Watch
oh, my.
Our handsome Prince Eric play the role of ultimate teammate, most supportive,
yep.
best backup quarterback you've ever seen. Like, he will be sitting next to Lance on the bench going yep. over the tablet. He will be sitting around talking about how, you know, I'm just here to help my guy get ready to go out and compete. And should anything go wrong, I'll be ready to answer the bell. Even the harshest Jimmy Garoppolo critic would have to agree he's been nothing but a model of professionalism, and I don't think he's going to come off of that model now. And if the team, if the franchise suspected he would, he wouldn't still be here.
Nope.
This is the ultimate management of professionalism, of egos, and like you were saying, Kyle, I think that your point is perfect, that one, as much as we tie the two together, they're independent decisions. Mm-hmm. They're not really related to each other. I think this team is, their support of Trey Lance and keeping Garoppolo are mutually exclusive.
Yep.
One, it's easy to say one has absolutely right. something to do with the other, but they really don't. And the only thing that is going to bring Jimmy Garoppolo into a huddle in a football game, I really believe, is going to be an injury. I mean, I think that they are committed to Lance, and they know that there are going to be ebbs and flows in this year. And having said all that, if he plays himself off the field, he plays himself off the field. You know, football's hard. Yep. Football's hard, especially on young quarterbacks.
No doubt.
If he plays himself off the field because it's not good enough, so be it. And it won't be because Jimmy Garoppolo is behind him. It will be because he just wasn't quite ready for prime time.
No doubt. That's right, folks. That's Damon Bruce. In case you turned on your radio, you didn't hear Joe Shasky the Butcher, or you didn't hear nice guy Stephen Langford, that's Damon Bruce, because this is a special Red and Gold Roundtable. Bonte Hill, Damon Bruce, and the one and only Kyle Madsen, who's hosting overtime this season before and after every, after every Niners game.
You're going to be dealing with the post-game
show.
The post-game calls?
Yeah, man.
That's your job.
I'm on the roller coaster.
Hey, man. We brought him in a few years ago. He knows what time it is with that.
I had to deal with the Houston game after that, where Lance had his, whatever it was, three series, and he didn't look great.
Oh,
people are ready to pull the plug.
So have you discovered your Butcher Boy yet? Because it was Butcher Boy calling into Niner post games that made me go, okay, this guy needs a job in sports talk radio. So be on the lookout.
I definitely
the next 95.7 The Game star could be calling in frustrated after a 49er game. You never know. But it's, so we're rolling this a few times today. So, like, you're going to be an afternoon drive, and you're going to be an afternoon drive a little. I'm in morning drive.
I'm really excited about it.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing.
A Labor Day special. Get the barbecue and listen to Damon, Kyle, and Bonte here as we talk Jimmy G and the 49ers. And
we'll have an official name? Is it Red and Gold Roundtable?
Roundtable.
Round hosts.
No pizza. Round
hosts.
Which
is a huge bummer, but that's fine.
Yeah, I know. Roundtable pizza, very underrated. I believe so.
I
agree.
I'm in the Roundtable camp.
I am too.
But you brought up the leash with Trey Lance, and he's not just going to get pulled just to get pulled. And I believe that, too, because the NFC, I believe, is going to be so muddled like it was a season ago. The Niners, after eight games, were 3-5. Yet there were one game out of a playoff spot.
Mm-hmm.
I believe now, after watching all the dust settle, the Niners could be 3-5 into the same situation, and Kyle's going to say, you know what, let's give this another game. Let the kid play. You got to see what he has.
So I think that depends a little bit. If they're 3-5 and they're scoring 14 points a game and their defense is just awesome and it's just clear Lance is not developing, but if they start 1-3 and then go, what would that be, 3-5, 2-2 over their next four, where it's like the Rams and I think the Broncos
are
in there, like if they start there, but he's getting better. And they get to 3-5, and it's like, wow, they've won a couple in a row, and Trey really seems to be gaining his feet. Then I think you're right. I think he gets another shot. But if they're 3-5 because their quarterback stinks and they should really be 7-1, then I think they 100% go to Jimmy in that case.
That's the $100,000 question.
Yeah.
The entire year, right there. Will they do that? Will they do that? I'm going to have to see that to believe it. I mean, is Lance unplayable?
Right.
If he's literally unplayable, like a level of this doesn't work out, like he's out there looking like, I don't know, who's the worst quarterback I've ever seen?
Nathan Peterman.
Just incapable of, he's throwing multiple interceptions after another. Then yes, if it were that level of a disaster. But I think that level of disaster, how much better is it to go to a backup quarterback named Jimmy Garoppolo than Nate Sudfeld or Brock Purdy? That simple.
Yeah.
Like, if the sky is falling on your starting quarterback, it doesn't matter who the backup is.
Correct.
Right.
Your season's kind of dashed if your starting quarterback is a disaster or if he gets hurt. Except for one team, and this might be that team.
The 49ers.
Kyle Shanahan, when he said, you know, there aren't 32 great quarterbacks. There aren't 30, right. There aren't 32 starting caliber quarterbacks in this league, but we have two of them.
He's right.
And he is right about
he's
that.
He's right. He's absolutely
right about that.
No doubt about that.
Jimmy cast in the role of starting quarterback. It felt like he read well for the part. He certainly has the looks, but you know, we filmed the first pilot and it just didn't click. It didn't click. Cast as a backup quarterback, I think the man is setting himself up for big success in 2023 contractually. Yep. His reputation is going to be salvaged because it took a hit this offseason.
The best scenario for Jimmy Garoppolo this season is that he doesn't play. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to do everything in his power to make sure Trey Lance starts 17 games and is awesome in those 17 games.
What if he plays three and goes 2-1? Plenty of film. It adds to the regular season record where he was 33-14. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden you say, hey, 35-15 in games I started with the 49ers, 4-2 in the playoffs.
How about this? The Niners reach week, 18 now since they're 17 games? They reach week 18.
Play Jimmy?
They have their... the thing. They have their playoff seed locked up. You know, whether they win or lose, it doesn't affect where they're going to end up in the postseason. And there, Jimmy starts that game. He gets the mop game.
Oh, can you imagine?
And he balls out.
And let him ball out. Let him play great.
Millions in the bank. Don Yee saying, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. But going into the season, because you brought up week one Chicago, are the 49ers, Kyle, a better team going into this season than they were a year ago?
Yeah, I think so. You have Trey Lance, who is more experienced now. And that's the thing with Kyle Shanahan. Like, we're wringing our hands over what Trey Lance is going to be or not be. We've seen Kyle Shanahan make it work with way less talented quarterbacks than Trey Lance. Like, he made Matt Schaub a dude. He turned Matt Ryan from good to great. Like, I think the Trey Lance experiment is going to work. And so you have him as your starter. Now you have the, 18th best quarterback, 17th best quarterback in the league as your backup? Like, they're just better, top to bottom. You want to get into the secondary, you want to get into the running back group. Like, they are a better team this year, even with some question marks on the offensive line. I absolutely think they're better.
The fact that Nick Bosa is not coming off of a surgery, that alone makes this team better. Because he was spectacular coming off of that surgery. I think he is going to flirt not only with Defensive Player of the Year, I think he could play himself into an MVP-level conversation.
Man.
That's the year that I think Nick Bosa is about to have. Now, Kinlaw and Eric Armstead continuing that trajectory have a long way to go to making that happen. Mm-hmm. But if you, for a second, have to focus on anyone other than Bosa up front, that guy is going to eat quarterbacks' faces and all season long.
And a guy opposite of Nick Bosa. They're going to be better there on the edge. Mm-hmm. Kerry Hyder Jr. or Drake Jackson, a young man out of USC who probably should have been a first-round pick, but we know Clay Helton burned that school to the ground.
This show might be all quarterback talk. We've got to get into the rookies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no,
I think there are three rookies on this team who could go a long way to bending the arc of how successful this season really is.
Oh, yeah. Drake Jackson's one of them, I believe.
Drake
Jackson could be special.
Don't sleep on Samson Ebukam as well, who struggled early on last year, but over the last half of the season, he was excellent.
What's the biggest concern going into the season? We talk about Trey Lance. We talk about the weapons they have. IU, Kittle, Debo. We're going to get to that a little bit later. Nick Bosa, we're going to talk extensively about him, the linebacking group with Fred Warner Jr. What is the biggest concern heading into Chicago?
What do you think it is?
Probably the offensive line.
Guard, center, guard. Until further notice, that remains the only concern, to be totally honest.
Everybody's asking about Blake Hance from the Cleveland Browns. That's where we're at. Never heard of Blake Hance until he got cut yesterday.
Can I give you a nugget on Blake Hance?
Give me a nugget, Doc.
Blake Hance, I think, can play a little. So he really struggled at tackle for the Browns. They moved him to guard this preseason. Don't want to buy too far into preseason, but they moved him to guard, and he was really good at guard for them. And it was kind of a surprise to some people I talked to that know the Browns that he got cut.
So Aaron Banks should be on the lookout.
Well, they don't want to pay a guard like a tackle, right? Right. Was he a sweet guy? He wasn't a very good tackle.
Like, so they moved him to guard to see, like, hey, can you play here? And he was good.
Well, the clip,
and then they cut him.
The clip of him blocking Joey Bosa has gone viral. Niner fans are eating that up, where he's blocking Joey Bosa last year at SoFi Stadium.
Look at this one rep.
Hey, I'm sold.
Everything you need to know about football can be seen in this one rep.
Last week I saw somebody on YouTube where they were saying, hey, did you see this guy hits the way he blocked Joey Bosa? I'm like, we only saw one play. But Aaron Banks should be on the lookout. That's a message to him.
Yep.
Instead of Trey Lance looking over his shoulder, what about Aaron Banks? Because that is, look, offensive lines, we never talk about them on sports radio. It's not the sexy topic to talk about. But you see in the Super Bowl over and over and over again, just last year with Cincinnati, Joe Burrow got killed in the second half by the LA Rams. Why? Because he had no protection. They need protection up front, Damon. They're going to go a long way with this offensive line.
It's all steak and sizzle. If you don't have the steak, it doesn't matter how much you're sizzling. And there is a need to protect, you know, a new quarterback trying to figure it all out, who we think, you know, is definitely more mobile. You can move the pocket around. Hopefully that buys a heartbeat or two that just standing in the pocket waiting for a perfect pocket. I don't know. What did Trey Lance have? I think 16 preseason dropbacks in total.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He was running in 14 of those 16 preseason dropbacks.
Yeah.
So I'm really not, you know, I'm not on board with the he had a shaky preseason. That offensive line had a shaky preseason, and they've got a few days to hammer it out before they get to Chicago. And the only strength the Bears have is what they look like in the middle of that defense. So the one strength of the Bears is the one weakness of the Niners. Having said that, it should still be a great day for the San Francisco 49ers and you going to Chicago. Yeah. What a trip. We'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about that on the other side. The Red and Gold Roundtable. Kyle Batson, host of Overtime this season alongside Alan Stiles. Of course, you know Damon Bruce. He's an AM drive. What do you know? Morning drive, Damon Bruce. He woke up early to join us here on the Red and Gold Roundtable. I am Bonta Hill. We'll be right back. Brought to you by Kirby. Kirby's your driveway mechanic, brakes, tires, and oil changes, and much, much more.
Now back to the Red and Gold Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
All right, welcome back to the Red and Gold Roundtable, brought to you by Kirby. Kirby is your driveway mechanic, brakes, tires, oil changes, and much, much more. Little Labor Day special. Bonta Hill, Damon Bruce, Kyle Matson is going to be hosting Overtime on 95.7 The Game after every 49ers game alongside Alan Stiles. Kyle's tapped in with the 49ers inside and out. He knows all the moves, all the numbers. We'll get to all that stuff.
Is it Lowen Kruger doing pregame?
Dude, we're loaded.
We got the season on lock.
Dude, it's a monopoly for pre- and post-game
coverage. It's going to be so much fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And this year, you guys both said this, the intrigue with this 49ers team. You guys are right. I can't remember being this jacked up for a season.
They already lead the league. They lead the league in interesting, and we haven't played it down yet.
Because you got the unknown in the quarterback at Trey Lance, who I do love, and I think is going to thrive in this Shanahan offense. You have Deebo Samuel coming off of his all season, where he's unfollowing the 49ers on the IG, saying he's not playing. Oh, by the way, I just signed a 3-year, $71 million contract. You have Brandon Ayuk, who I think is going to have a Jordan Poole-like ascension in his offense. And oh, by the way, we haven't even brought up George Kittle, for crying out loud. Remember 85? Remember that guy?
He's the forgotten name in this all,
isn't
he?
Decent little player.
Yeah.
He had like a down year last year and still had, I think, 950 receiving yards.
Yeah,
and it was like, oh, tough season.
He's so special that you almost don't even notice him anymore. Like, you sort of take him for granted.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He really has become that level of, I expect him to be this each and every week. Yep. He's going to lay down at least three pancake blocks. He's going to make three catches, all on third down to move the chains, and he might get in the end zone.
It's like when Steph drops 40. It doesn't even move the needle.
I remember
when it's 38 tonight.
Yeah.
Call me when it's 47.
Yeah. Well, I remember the Niners lost to Tennessee last season on Christmas Eve, and Curry dropped 46 against Memphis, and nobody gave a damn. It's like, 46, that's cool. Great story.
Yeah.
It's like, what? He just dropped 46 against the Memphis Grizzlies, for crying out loud. But
in the NBA. Oh, he did.
Oh, yeah. Game four happened, right?
Yeah. It did.
By the way, since we're here, and I know we're talking Niners, has anybody had a better year than Stephen Curry in the last 20? He's hosted the ESPYs. He's got the three-point record, finals MVP, All-Star Game MVP. Oh, he just got his college diploma and his jersey up in the rafters. He had his own graduation ceremony by himself. Not anybody else, just him. He can do no wrong. It's a nice life, a nice 2022.
I mean, it's no Bonte Hill, but it's a big year.
I mean, it's a huge year.
It's a big year.
Steph, Bonte, Pelo, I don't know.
Look at it. By the way, we're going to be interviewing P-High a little bit later. But, no, look, it's awesome to see this market remain like in the bullseye of all sports importance.
Yep.
Nobody gets the window that the Warriors have created for themselves. No. You just don't get that in professional sports in modern times.
I wonder, real quick, Kyle and I are a bit younger. We're new to the game, right? You've been here in this market.
Oh, God, that's how I'm framed now. I'm a little bit younger. That's why
I'm
younger
than Bonte.
No, it's an honor for us to be in this room with David Bruce because, listen,
as Kyle Bassett is hosting 49ers postgame shows on 95.7 The Game, something that I did. You were doing this way back when they were the hot team before they went down in Mike Nolan. Or actually, you were there during the Mike Nolan
Mike
days.
Nolan.
Right.
Nice suit, Mike.
Nice suit. Mike, that's about it. So
he wore Reebok suits on purpose.
Reebok suits.
That's crazy.
They did when they're open. What's the thing?
They needed to go ahead and stay with the official sideline outfitter of the NFL at the time. So Reebok is over there making him some, you know, triple-breasted. No, look, Mike Nolan was a really good guy. Let's just leave it at that.
As
a coach, I don't know. But yeah, there were some down times, man. And then the Harbaugh era was the peak of, you know, the Niner existence since I've been out here. And now this. And this is, you know, having been here long enough to see a lot of it now, this is so far and away the most interesting run-up we have ever had to a season of 49er football.
Unbelievable.
Because its expectations are, you know, they go all the way from win the Super Bowl to, well, what if they are 9-8? You know,
right.
And I don't think there's a scenario where they're, you know, a 5-6 win football team, unless, of course, injuries unfold and the entire year is undone by bad luck. And if you ask Kyle Shanahan if that's ever happened to him, he'd say, yeah, it's happened multiple times. And that's why I have Jimmy Garoppolo now as my backup quarterback, because I have been undone going to C.J. Beathard and Nick Mullins and Brian Hoyer before this whole thing started. Mm-hmm. So I have not hedged my bet on Trey Lance. I'm hedging against NFL reality.
Right.
That's what this is, I think, more than anything else.
He gets dragged for 2018 and 2020 all the time. It's like, losing record as a head coach. And now he's insulating himself against that, right?
Right. Starting quarterback tears his ACL in week two in Kansas City, for goodness sakes.
Right, right. And the year is over.
It's unwatchable. Yep. But you brought up the market and how this market is exploding with the Warriors and Niners. And
we're so lucky.
And I going to Boston for the NBA Finals, right? And I'm thinking to myself, you know, everybody talks about Boston, New York, Chicago, D.C., L.A., major markets. Oh, they really care about their sports. Think about the run the Bay has been on since basically 2010. You got the Giants with 3 World Series. Mm-hmm. You had the Niners with multiple Super Bowl appearances and knocking on the door of a championship. We have the Warriors, of course, 4 championships in 8 years. Hell, the San Jose freaking Sharks made a Stanley Cup final. Not to mention the A's always making the playoffs, and we know what happened in the first round. Sorry, Kyle Batson. But you guys were entertaining and winning divisions.
Mm-hmm.
This market is now up there with the big dogs. I don't care what anybody says. You cannot call the market of the Bay Area a soft market, because this market has turned into, hey, if you don't win a championship, we don't give a damn about you. It's Super Bowl or bust, or championship or bust.
It's, I mean, we even got a Stanley Cup appearance. Go Sharks. But look, there was the Boston run where they did have, you know, the Patriots on top of the Red Sox, and then they had that one-off Celtics championship. Mm-hmm. And that's the most obnoxious any city's ever been allowed to get by how much they were dominating sports. Like, you might have hated Boston then, but they earned it. They really did. That was an impressive run. This, to me, is the only thing that is like that is reminiscent of that. I think now the Bay Area has surpassed, you know, Chicago, Philadelphia, Atlanta was never really even in the conversation, nor was the state of Florida, South Beach, the state of South Beach, if you will. And the Bay Area is dwarfing the Dallas Metroplex in terms of relevant teams. And it's been a special time. Like, there will be a Red and Gold roundtable that the three of us are recording 4 or 5 years from now that won't be half as interesting as this one is.
Right.
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 Not even close. You know, and it won't be the host's fault.
No.
But
no.
The host will be spectacular that day, too.
Yeah.
But
always.
Just the circumstances, the expectations, the mystery, all of it, everything that you could want in a sports story is attached not only to several Bay Area teams, but specifically this San Francisco 49ers team.
And that's, I think that's a little bit why there's so much of a microscope and so much worry about Trey Lance, right? Because it's really on him, this massive question mark, going back to college. Like, not to mention he's played 2.5 NFL games, but he's this massive question mark, but it's on him to carry this torch a little bit. Like, I know we got the Warriors and we got, you know, right. Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody and Jordan Poole,
yeah.
and there's that. But, like, this is the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers. Mm-hmm. If the Bay Area is going to stay as relevant as it's been since 2010, the 49ers have to be good. You cannot be a bad NFL city or have a bad NFL team in your city and be relevant nationally. And I think that's why there's so much pressure on this, because it's like, man, if this doesn't work.
Wow.
Yikes. Like, they're going the wrong direction quickly.
Niner fans have been waiting to wrap their arms around a quarterback.
Yes.
Never really wrapped our arms around Alex Smith. We did for a second with Kaepernick, and it was over. Poof, gone. In a snap of a finger. Felt like, man, that was like 8 years ago. It feels like it was 20 years ago. Jimmy Garoppolo, yeah, okay, he won the 5 games, got the contract. But 2019, nobody really, not everybody, but a segment didn't really embrace him. They say, yeah, he's a bus driver. Just don't wreck the bus, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the defense. It's the running game. You know what? Shanahan doesn't trust him. Only called 8 pass plays in an NFC Championship game, despite you getting 7 yards a pop.
Completely dominated.
Right. Right.
Yeah,
right. Completely
dominating an NFC title game wasn't good enough.
And we still complained.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beat Minnesota 27-10, and we still complained. Niner fans are desperate to wrap their arms around the next franchise quarterback. But we're going to see a guy on the other sideline in week one in Justin Fields, the guy the Niners could have had.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to ask you, Kyle, if you had to do it all over again, would Justin Fields be the guy that you picked in that draft? Or would you still select Trey Lance on what you know now?
No, I'd still go Lance. Like, if that's the guy, I'm trusting Kyle Shanahan here. If Trey Lance was their guy and that was the player that they went, hey, the mental makeup, this and that, like, we think he is going to develop into a star, then I'm doing it again. Because chances are, if they drafted Justin Fields, we'd be in the exact same spot. So this is 100%, just based on kind of what I saw, I like Trey Lance more at North Dakota State. I would still go that way without question.
I would say that Justin Fields, I've seen enough of him to have my doubts about him, where I haven't seen enough of Trey Lance to either come down on either side of the argument yet. He still remains a mystery to me. If Justin Fields had been picked by the Niners, the only guaranteed difference is that Justin Fields would be in a much better situation.
Yeah.
Justin Fields is in about as bad of a situation as any young quarterback has been put in the last decade in the NFL. He's got a defensive first-time go-around rookie coach in Eberflus. He has the least amount of talent that you can pretty much find among skill positions in the entire NFL.
What do you mean? Dante Pettis is not a factor there?
Maybe Valus Jones? Valus Jones not getting it done?
Good luck with all that. Good luck with all of it. You know, I mean, Cole Kmet, ladies and gentlemen. Are you ready for Kmet?
Love those bootlegs, baby. Tight end screens. Let's
look,
go.
it's a huge work in progress for Justin Fields. He would be in a much better situation. And so many careers really are dictated by the situations that you land in. And this is the saving grace for Trey Lance.
Yep.
I don't think that there is a young quarterback, and this now includes Mac Jones. Last year it didn't because Mac Jones had Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick and still the aura of, you know, the Patriots from a coached correctly top to bottom standpoint. They still had that aura. They don't really have it now because Bill Belichick won't even name, you know, offensive coordinators. And
Matt Patricia's call of plays? Judge?
It just feels like it's a risk, and everyone in New England saying that this isn't built right and maybe there's too much ego involved in that. I really do think that Trey Lance is as well positioned as a young quarterback could be, not just in terms of team talent, but the coach.
Yep.
And Kyle Shanahan, you know, whether or not you want to say has earned the genius card that a lot of people say he gets to carry around in his wallet. Look, I've talked to enough NFL people, and I know that you guys have too, to know that the amount of coach-wide respect, forget players, and forget fans, the amount of coaches that fawn over the game plan Kyle Shanahan puts together is enough for me to believe that without the Lombardi Trophy sitting on his desk, he is capable of indeed winning one day. When all the stars align, it's going to happen. Is Trey Lance one of the stars that helps it all align?
It better. With the draft capital they spent to go get him,
it's
better because jobs are on the line.
If he's not, Shanahan's done.
Right.
Like, this is your shot.
You know what? I don't think so. I really don't think so. I think he would even get a mulligan on this one. I really do.
Wow.
That is how much control he has.
With the patience
over this.
Of fans and sports and everything look, like that? Ooh.
Fans do not matter.
Coaching
he has Jed
players.
York's 100% confidence. As long as York is 100% in, that's all that needs to happen.
Yeah.
And we all know, look, mathematically today, as close as we are to week one, I'm going to tell you that there is a more mathematical probability that Trey Lance fails than succeeds in the NFL.
Yeah,
that's how it is for all quarterbacks.
No doubt.
He has to prove that he can do this before you should even begin to assume that, hey, based on where he was drafted and the belief that this team had in him, it's definitely going to work.
Right.
That's not how this goes.
No.
That's not how this goes. So it is, there are so many moving parts, but all you can talk about is what is your starting line of your career. Trey Lance is at the best possible starting line of his career. Who knows how he runs the race?
And when you look at rookie quarterbacks in the history of the league, he may be in the best position outside of Ben Roethlisberger in terms of going to a team with a championship-type defense, a strong running game, and a hell of a play caller in Kyle Shanahan. This is the Red and Gold Roundtable. Damon Bruce, Kyle Mattson, and Bonte Hill brought to you by Kirby. Kirby is your driveway mechanic, brakes, tires, oil changes, and much, much more as we get ready for Chicago week number one on this Labor
Kirby.
Day. Kirby, baby.
Way to go, Kirby, Kirby on a Labor Day.
Mobile mechanics, baby. Mobile mechanics. Real quick, I wanted to get Trey Lance to the game plan.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay, because
you were on Trey Lance like 2019, early 2019 college season. You're like, hey, watch this guy from North Dakota State. Would you still draft him? Like, is your
That's a great
faith,
question.
Do you still have faith in Trey?
I still have a lot of faith in Trey because of what I saw in the second half against the Houston Texans and what I saw in that start against Arizona. I know they only scored 10 points, but he hung in there and gets a good defense, and he took shot after shot after shot, and the young man didn't flinch. He didn't flinch. And it got to have a game in your last home game of the season, knowing that Garoppolo's out. And, hey, Trey, you fell today. We're not going to the playoffs. We're not going to be in position to make the playoffs. We can't get to Week 18 against the L.A. Rams and play for a playoff spot. He came out in that second half, and he went out there and balled out. He went out there and threw the ball well, threw it down the field. And the one element that Shanahan has been missing in this offense in San Francisco is that big chunk play. You go back to that Atlanta team in 2016 where the Falcons were scoring 35 points a game. Matt Ryan's winning MVP. You mentioned how he turned Matt Ryan into a good quarterback or from a good quarterback to a great quarterback. That team was 17th in time of possession, and they were lighting up the scoreboard.
They were one of the great first down teams of all time.
All time. Yeah. All time.
All time.
Super
all
important.
Time.
Yeah.
Super important. Trey Lance can do that, so I would draft Trey Lance. Look, Trevor Lawrence I think he's going to be really good, but Jacksonville has to build around him. At three, I was out on Zach Wilson. I think Zach Wilson, what we're seeing with him now is something that I saw in college. Like, oh, I don't know if he's going to hold up in the NFL. It looks good, but he's a little frail. He's a little Hector Skelter. I don't know about that. Justin Fields, it was close, right? And then Mac Jones. You had Mac Jones. Why are you going to draft Mac Jones, though, when you already have Jimmy Garoppolo? You basically drafted the same thing. So I would draft Trey Lance because of the promise and the moxie and the mental makeup. Everybody that you talk to about Trey Lance, whether it's his high school football coach, his college coach, players on the team, they say Trey Lance has what it takes mentally. Mm-hmm. The podium game, it's there, right? Yeah, I don't care what the media has to say. He's going out there working on his craft. I like the fact that, hey, Brandon Ayuk, get your ass down to L.A. Let's go throw some passes and build this rapport. So I would draft Trey Lance again because I think Shanahan and the way he's going to use Trey Lance is sort of the same way he's going to use RG3 without all the running. You go back to RG3's first ever football game down in the Superdome under Mike and Kyle Shanahan. They allowed him to throw the ball only 26 times. And that's where fans got to get real here. He's only going to throw the ball 20 to 25 times a game.
Yep.
That's all you need. But he threw for over 320. He took the shots down the field when you have the weapons that the Niners have. So I would do it all over again and draft Trey Lance. I think he's the guy, and I think he understands what it means to be a quarterback in San Francisco. So that would still be my guy, number three overall.
I mean, I don't know. We're about to find out. And you know what is funny, though? We were just talking about, or I was just talking about how much I think Kyle Shanahan is a spectacular coach and play caller. I think among the worst games Shanahan has ever coached are the two Trey Lance starts that we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't look like he had schemed it up for Trey Lance. It felt like he was still in a Garoppolo mindset. And that, I sort of thought, undid Trey Lance. The game in Arizona where he had 16 carries, but you know, the amount of what was designed, what was improvised, was debated the entire following week. I still don't know why those games didn't feel or look crisper from a game plan standpoint, but they just didn't.
Right.
Well, how much is Shanahan going to miss Mike McDaniel? Because Brian Baldinger has been all over 95.7 The Game saying, you know, Mike McDaniel, he'd be in the film room, he'd be breaking down the alignments, all the motions, and I think the Niners are going to miss him. Where you listen to Deebo Samuel, and he's like, you know, I think it's going to be the same around here, despite losing Mike McDaniel and Wes Welker. How much do you think Shanahan will miss Mike McDaniel? Because you know a lot about Mike McDaniel.
Something Shanahan's done a really good job of is hiring coaches. There are so many former 49ers coaches littered throughout the league doing something more than they were doing in San Francisco. So that's a little bit of a concern for sure, but it's not like the Niners are going to come out and Shanahan doesn't know how to coach.
Right.
That's so as long as Kyle Shanahan's in the building.
Bubble screen.
But sleep. No, he put it on Chris Forster, offensive line coach, now the run game coordinator. That's a guy that Shanahan trusts, so I think given Shanahan's track record, he deserves the benefit of the doubt.
I like Anthony Lynn's hire, too.
Yes, that's a very good point.
I think he's going to do a lot for an already deep and experienced running back room. I think Elijah Mitchell's about to have a big year. I mean, if this offensive line will allow such a thing, and we got to get back to that. I mean, that's the overriding concern going into week 1, 2, 3 through 18 is what this offensive line does or doesn't do in its middle. But I think Elijah Mitchell is ready to go. I think that
this Mason kid looks good.
Yeah.
This kid looks good.
And look, that's why we no longer see Trey Sermon on this roster.
Right.
You know, that was someone that they tried to speak into existence. But game film really does not lie, and I can't think of a single run that he ever made in a game that actually mattered, and there was a running game clock in that I was impressed with. It just didn't happen.
I thought he was going to be a star.
I watch more Big Ten football than anyone should, and he was a huge home run hitter for Ohio State. But it goes back to the point that we can never forget. There is no amount of collegiate success in any conference, on any team, at any level.
Yep.
There is no amount of collegiate success that dictates what might happen in the NFL for you.
No doubt.
The only thing that proves whether or not you can play in the NFL is the NFL.
Yep.
That is it. There is no translation between the college game success and professional success. That's why this league is littered with undrafted free agents. Yep.
Especially now with all the parity of college football. But Trey Sermon, when he was drafted, I was like, oh man, Trey Sermon to the Niners, he's going to be a home run. I felt the same way about LaMichael James when he came out of Oregon. When the Niners drafted him, I said, oh, he's Frank Gore's backup, home run hitter, Oregon Duck, let's go.
And then he was awesome at Oregon.
And then
incredible.
The Super Bowl
he was
happened.
Awesome.
And then the Super Bowl happened.
Put your hand down, Grandy.
Oh, no.
Let's go, Ducks.
Go Ducks. The O stands for no championships. Imagine. It's truth.
Trey Sermon, look, you know that meme that goes around the internet right now? It's like the X-ray and he's got the dog inside the person. He's got that dog. Trey Sermon just doesn't. He didn't break tackles. He ran indecisively. It wasn't a shock that he was the guy the 49ers decided to let go out of that running back.
It looked like his feet were heavy.
Yeah, he had heavy feet. Yeah, he just wasn't good enough.
You gotta hit a hole, make a cut, and go in this offense.
Go. Hey,
but they're suckering me in with Ty Davis Price. That run he had against Minnesota, where he stiff arms the defensive lineman, keeps his balance, lowers his shoulder into the DB, keeps going. I'm in on TDP, man.
You bring up college football and all the conferences and stuff. I'm a sucker for SEC players.
It just means more.
Which is why I always, you know, a lot of SEC players fail. Reuben Foster on line one, right? Thought he was going to be a stud as a linebacker for the 49ers. Well, lasted 1 year, got into trouble, and now he hasn't been in the NFL due to injuries. Just he was okay, right? But TDP... SEC running back out of LSU, how could he not be a stud? That program is littered with studs. But as you mentioned, Damon, it doesn't translate into NFL success. And I think the hype train has gotten so big on TDP. I'm in a situation where I just want to wait and see it. Let me see when he gets.
He might have had a better offensive line at LSU. I mean, that's the scary thing. So you know, we'll all find out together. But you talk about the rookies that are going to be really interesting. I think he is one of them. I think that Danny Gray is going to be fascinating, and Samuel Womack III. Man, this kid, all of a sudden, you know, we'll get to Drake Jackson.
Right.
You want to talk about landing in a good situation for a career? We'll get to him in a minute. But Samuel Womack III, and by the way, the third is normally known as a Trey. Do we have another Trey? God. We lost a Trey Sermon. We have a Trey Lance. Can we have a Trey Womack here?
Trey.
Okay. I'm in.
I think this kid has shown all sorts of squabbles in that secondary. Mm. He is in the middle of every turnover this team has basically had for that defense in the preseason. So I hope that translates to the regular season. And just think how good this defense could be if we're not having a weekly referendum about who's playing in the secondary.
Yes.
If the secondary goes out there and does their job, we know that this defensive line group and we know that this linebacker group look like they're about to do their jobs. So I'm talking about every single week of the year, you got a defense that is never out of the top five.
Yeah. Semi Womack,
top five defense.
Rookie corner. Division loaded with the receivers.
Nickel, baby.
Nickel. I'm a little concerned. I like what I saw in the preseason. But boy, when Cooper Kupp lines up in that slot, or Tyler Locker lines up in that slot, then we'll see what Womack's all about.
Womack's got some dog in him, though.
He got some dog in him, though. He's no punk. You can't be a punk playing corner in the NFL.
You don't come out of Toledo. Unless
as a
you're walk
on. Toledo, as a walk
baby.
On.
What are they, the Rockets?
The Rockets.
Toledo Rockets, baby. Pride in the back. What you know about that, Grandy? Ain't no Oregon
you love
duck.
Maxion.
I do love Maxion. I do love
Maxion. You lose a lot of money on Maxion.
A couple years ago, it was really good for me.
Look at it this way.
We're not going to talk about the last 2 years.
The Mac used to represent one of the only wins Indiana football would get. It doesn't represent that anymore. No, there's no easy days.
You better bring your A game against Ball State. More coming up on the Red Gold Roundtable. David Bruce. Kyle Batch is going to be hosting Overtime this season. 49ers Post Game Show here on 95.7
Central Michigan.
Yours truly, Ponte Hill. We'll be right back. The Red Gold Roundtable brought to you by Kirby. Kirby's your driveway mechanic. Brakes, tires, oil changes, and much, much more.